Good morning again, church. It's good to see you. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Though I can see half of your faces because of the mask, but I want to believe that the other half is well by the grace of God. It gives me great pleasure to continue in Psalms 91. I hope you have read it. I hope you have spent time to marinate yourself in the text that is Psalms 91. We are still in January, so we can still make resolutions. Resolutions as Ijaisha. So what we quit, continue quitting, what we gym. I hope you are 2 kgs down by now, or else you have slowed down in your pace. What we diet, I hope you have quit meat, you have quit wheat, and you are moving in the right direction. Let's keep on keeping on. I saw a peculiar resolution online. I don't know whether you guys have seen it, if you're online, if you have any account online. Atakamani Facebook. I know Facebook is for the older guys, sisi, squeezy. Atakamani Facebook, if you have Facebook, there are people who have decided that 2021 is the year they will quit toxic people. Have you heard about that resolution of quitting toxic people? People who bring negative energy. That's what I read. I probably read it from one of your posts. I'm just keeping myself from uttering your name. But it's an interesting resolution to quit people. I don't understand how you can quit people, but it's very, very, very popular right now. Now, I don't know whether you have children. If you have children and God has blessed you with money, you probably have a help or you have a house help. And some of us here serve as house helps. And I met some of us who are complaining that, Pastor, every December I lose my house help. Like they go home and they don't come back. And then you complain, what is wrong with these house helps? Can I tell you what is wrong or right with those house helps? They have quit toxic people. So you find yourself being the resolution that has been quit by others. So it's good to be on the other end of the pendulum where people are quitting you. And you are not the one that is quitting others. So we continue in Psalms 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, he who dwells in the shelter of El Elyon will rest in the shadow of the Almighty, will rest in the shadow of El Shaddai. We will say of the Lord that the Lord is our refuge, the Lord is our strength, the Lord is our shoulder. He has spread his wings over us. In the shadow of his wings, we shall find refuge. And therefore we say, as Mamlaka Hill Chapel Ruaka in 2021, we shall walk in the courage of God. We shall not be afraid of the arrows that fly by day, of the plague that destroys at midday, of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, because God has spread his wings over us, as he promises us in Psalms 91. So we looked at Psalms 91, verse 1. I hope that God has inscribed in your heart the assurance of El Elyon, that the Almighty has made available the resource of his power to you. The Almighty God has proved to you through Jesus, who is actually Jehovah El Elyon, that he values you and he carries you as a priority above all else. He proved it at the cross on Calvary when he died for you. And when he rose up at the ascension as a fragrance offering for the forgiveness of our sins. I hope you also look at the warnings that exist in that text about the fowler's snare. The devil is the fowler that Psalms 91 is referring to. A fowler is a man who traps fowls. If you have ever captured, if you have ever ensnared a bird, you are a fowler. Now the Bible compares the enemy to a fowler who sets up a snare for believers. So Psalms 91 reminds us that though we are covered by God, we should be aware that there is an enemy that wants to entrap us. Now we live in a country that, especially in 2005, 2006, had very strange billboards in town. They're still there, but the number has reduced. Do you remember those days you would walk, after every 2 steps, you would find Daktari Kutoka Tanga, or Daktari Kutoka Moshi, or Arusha. And some of the promises that would be made there ni mpenzi kupotea. Most of the time it's the husband's bwana ame potea, nguvu za kiume, and many other things that were put on those billboards. And as Kenyans and as Africans, we are aware that there is the existence of darkness. At some point in our lives, it was broadcasted in town. There was a time that we heard of Loliondo. We don't know what people are going to do in Loliondo, but people were looking for some hope in a power that is not God. We are aware as a country that there is the existence of darkness. So some of us are probably victims of darkness. There could be someone who has taken your hair to Daktari Kutoka Tanga, or someone who has not found you for 2 days and has gone to Daktari Kutoka Tanga. But God assures us that the power of El Elyon is greater than any scheme, than any plan of darkness, than any snare that the fowler can set upon you. Amen? So even though he looks to sift us like sand, as Jesus says in Luke 21, we know that he has prayed for us, and we shall be able to stand regardless of what the enemy has said against us. Even though Peter warns us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that the devil is like a roaring lion looking to devour you. So you have an active enemy that is looking to devour you, but the power of El Elyon and the presence of his angels is greater than any scheme that the enemy can set against you. Amen? Amen. Now let me, there are many things that you can teach about in Psalms 91, but I want to make one thing clear. It's probably the place that can cause the most confusion. So allow me to teach about only one part of Psalms 91, then we can go back to what does it mean to dwell, because that's a promise I made last week. Now there's a place that talks about you will tread upon the lion and the cobra. It says he will command his angels concerning you to watch over you in all your ways, and it promises that you will tread upon the lion, you will tread upon the cobra, you will tread upon the lion and the great serpent. Now, what is this treading upon the lion and the cobra? Does it mean that as Mamlaka Hill Chapel Rocker, we should organize a trip to Aminimal Orphanage? You know, that's the closest place you can find lions. Or if you walk along Mombasa Road, do you remember those days that lions used to hyper and appear on Mombasa Road? Does it mean that they should call you? Your boss, oh, there's a lion in the street. They should call you to go and tread upon the lion. Or if you see a snake in your compound or in the compound of your neighbor, does it mean that you should go and tread upon the snake? So let's understand what it means to tread upon the lion and the cobra. Now, this country, Kenya, is experiencing, let me call it a renaissance. There's an increased awareness of pets. Right? It is possible now to visit someone and find rabbits that have been kept as pets or chicken that has been kept as pets. That never used to happen. That still doesn't happen in Western. All chicken is food. There's no chicken that is kept as pets. But in Nairobi, there's a renaissance. I mean, Ruaka is the epitome of this. When you go to the roundabout, you will find pets, small dogs that are being sold because there is an increasing demand for pets. Now, when I was younger, I kept dogs. And if you kept dogs like me, your heart is broken by the kind of dogs that people keep today. Now, our dogs used to use cats for ping pong. But the dogs that are kept today are smaller than cats. So you have to protect them from the stray cats in your compound because of their size. So it's a different era of keeping dogs. They are carried in handbags. They are fed. They have personal doctors. They are washed with shampoos. So it's not like the dogs of our days. Those dogs used to fend for themselves. And then you would meet in the evening briefly. Just to check whether it has ticks. If it doesn't, it's fine. But we live in an era where pets are conscious. Now, there was a time in this world, and it's still there, that people believed in many gods. And that's why God would speak to the people of Israel and say, do not worship the gods of the Canaanites, there are no other gods beside me. Basically, there is no other god besides God. All other gods are manifestations of demonic power. The Asherahs, the Dianas, the Baals, all those are demons that serve the will and purpose of the fowler, who is Satan. Now, there was a god, and for the purpose of our context, I will call her a demon. But they called her a goddess. Her name was Hera. Now, Hera, it is said that Hera was the goddess of authority. And Hera had pets. Now, she had three pets. One of them was a lion. The other one was a snake. And the third one was a scorpion. Now, these three pets were kept by Hera. And when Hera died, and when her pets died, the people believed all through, from the Babylonian Empire, now to those who believe in horoscopes, that this ascended and became deified and became gods. So for the longest time, monarchies held the presence of constellation that symbolized the lion and the snake to be an affirmation of their leadership. So when the Bible talks about you will tread upon the lion and the cobra, it is talking about that gave monarchists authority to rule. Now, monarchists were not people who believed in democracy. By monarchists, I mean kings and queens, the days that countries were governed by kings and queens and not presidents, duly elected presidents, especially now that we have Ugandan elections. So duly elected presidents, it is a phenomena of the recent past. A long time ago, most of our lands were ruled by kings, and kings believed that people were their subjects. So they believed that they had been put there by Hera and her pets, that is, Hydra and Leo. So there's a constellation called Leo and a constellation called Hydra. So every time a king, for example, the king of France would look up to the sky, they would look at it as an affirmation from the gods of their leadership. So when God talks about treading upon the lion and the cobra, he talks about that the kings of this world derived their confidence forms. So he says even the kings of this world cannot prevail against those who God has chosen. The kings of this world cannot prevail upon those who dwell under the shadow of El Elyon. So when the Bible talks about the lion and the cobra, it is talking about the confidence by which the kings of this world, the demonic confidence, really get their power, get their confidence, and get their authority. So the government that you belong to is greater than any government of this world. So in Isaiah chapter 9, talks about Jesus ruling on the throne of David. It is basically telling us that when he died and rose in heaven, he established a government that is greater than any government of this world. That's why Isaiah 40 refers to God as the one who brings the rulers of this world to naught and the kings of this world to nothing. That's why David had the audacity to threaten the kings of this world in Psalms chapter 2 and tell them, kiss the sun, lest his anger flare up in a moment and you be lost in your ways, because El Elyon is greater than any government of this world. So next time you pray with Psalms 91, please leave the snakes alone and leave the lions in the park, because God is talking about the kings of this world, and no power in this world can prevail against that God has protected. So I don't care if the governments of this world, if NATO and the UN come together against believers. God is affirming us today that his power, his protection, the cover of El Elyon is greater than any kingdom of this world. Amen? So I wanted you to know that, so that you can have the confidence of knowing that our God is greater. Our God is the greatest that exists. I told you a story about the Communist Party in China. I was given statistics by someone reliable. So if they're not right, please, I'll give you the number of that someone reliable to ask them. There was a time that the Communist Party of China decided that religion is an opium for the masses. Therefore, there is no more meeting in church, and it became illegal to be religious, to be Christian, and to be Muslim, and they shut down the church. Now, it is testified at that time by missionaries that the church went underground. Now, the government was so serious that they sent spies to make sure that anybody that tries to gather in the name of religion was arrested and prosecuted. And guess what? God made it possible for the church in China to grow. Now, it is estimated that the number of the church in China, as per these statistics, is 130 million. After many years of being illegal, the church grew from hundreds of thousands to have a membership of 130 million Chinese. Now, this membership is more than the membership of the Communist Party in China. So God cannot be defeated by any government of this world. The people of God cannot be oppressed by any government of this world. The worst mistake that a government of the world can do is to stand against Yahweh, is to stand against Jehovah, because he gives power to his children to tread upon the lion and to tread upon the cobra, to tread upon that that gives the kingdoms of this world confidence, sometimes to stand against the faith. So the lion and the cobra are the monarchist symbols of the kingdoms of this world. Amen? Amen. Now, one of the things that was clear last week is that God has made you his highest priority. God has made you his highest priority. God has taken time to show you that he cares for you. How has he made you his highest priority? He has made available his resources. Now, if someone invites you into their house and gives you freedom to use their everything, you will know that that someone values you. If you want, you can sleep in their bedroom. If you want, you can use their TV. If you want, you can play with their PlayStation. If you want, you can carry their pet to the supermarket. This person has given you access to everything. Now, God has not only given us access to all his resources, he has given us legitimate right to his resources by allowing us to be adopted as sons. So God has made you his highest priority and invited you legitimately into his family. Jesus has made you his highest priority by dying on the cross of Calvary and allowing himself to rise up as a fragrance offering for you. So one of the things that God proves in Psalms 91 verse 1 is, I have made you a priority. You are dear, you are near to me, I love you with an everlasting love. In Romans chapter 8, he says nobody can separate you from that love. So what does it mean to dwell in the shelter of the Most High? And to me, to dwell in the shelter of the Most High is to reciprocate what God has done for you. Because God has made you his priority, I believe God is inviting you to make him your priority. So to dwell in the shelter of the Most High is to make God your priority. Let me explain. Now, in the olden days, men had to seek after God. If you wanted to find God, you'd have to go to a temple for prayer, or you'd have to go to the place where the Ark of the Covenant and the priests were sacrificing so that you might find access to God. But when Jesus died, God says in the scriptures that he does not live in buildings that are built by human hands. Right now, he lives in the lives and bodies and hearts of believers. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about it. It reminds you that you are what? A temple of the living God. And God's spirit that you have received remains in you. And God quotes some of the promises of the Old Testament. And he says, I will come amongst us and live with them. I will be their God and they will be my people. So the presence of God is no longer in the temple. The presence of God is with us. He says that I will be your father. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And you will be my children, my sons and daughters. But as he makes that promises in 1 Corinthians 6:15 and onwards, he puts a condition. He says, touch nothing unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters. He says, come out from amongst them and be separate. So there is a promise, but it comes with a condition. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 continues with the condition, and it says, since you have received the promise of the dwelling of God, separate yourself from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. So one of the ways that you can dwell with God who dwells with you is to make God your priority. And the first way in which you make God your priority is by acknowledging that you are his temple and allowing that truth to determine your conduct, and allowing that truth to determine your behavior, and allowing that truth to determine every decision that you make in your life. God has made a covenant with you. He is not going to leave you. He has sealed himself to you. 1 Corinthians 1:13 talks about the Holy Spirit being a seal. He has paid your dowry. He is not planning to divorce you regardless of what you do. He is not planning to let go of you regardless of any area of darkness that you might go to. I don't know what's the darkest place that a believer can go to. I'm trying to look for a significant darkness. It could be, what, a strip club. You know, when you go to a dark place where debauchery is happening, God doesn't stand at the door. He goes with you to that place because he has made a covenant to follow you everywhere you go. Though he will be grieved. The Bible talks about the grieving of the spirit. Though the spirit will be grieved when you're not doing things that are godly, God has promised not to abandon you. So God is asking us to have a conduct that reflects the fact that we carry the preciousness of his knowledge in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 refers to us as jars of clay that carry something precious within us. It says we carry the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Christ. And the first way that you can dwell is by conducting yourself as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, it is something to know that you have something precious within you. Now, when I was in high school, way before M-Pesa, and all these forms of payment, now, when my mother wanted to give me school fees, she would put it in my pocket and shonea it. I don't know whether you experienced that. So, if for example, if my school fees was 20K, she would put it in the pocket, and then she would take a shindano and get the hardest thing and shonea that 20K in the pocket so that it's not stolen or so that I'm not tempted to take it and use it for my personal pleasures, which were there along the way from the house to the school. Now, there was some confidence that that gave me. Those days that 20K would be in my pocket, there was a confidence and a swag that I had, because I knew that I had 20K in my pocket. You go to Ule Mother wa Chapo, you know those chapos were 5 bob, and you're like, you know, I can buy 4,000 of these chapatis. Where? Stairs and our two. Those are the days that you would vibe any chick, even from the National Schools Alliance girls, even though you're in a district school, because you know you have 20K in your pocket. It gives you confidence and bravado. Anyone who saw me in the streets of Nairobi would know this guy has something precious that he carries within him. God is calling us to walk as if we know. Rather as if, to walk as those who know that we carry something precious from within us. That it should reflect in our conduct, it should reflect in our activity, it should reflect in the things that we do. Now, one of the reflections I got from childbirth. Okay, I did not give birth to a child, but when my wife gave birth to a child, is God has given women the grace to understand that they are carrying something precious within them. Now, for example, if you have your wife, and maybe she likes Kehoshonite, right? There are songs you would choose to dance to and others you would not dance to. The easy songs you would move to. But when they move to those ones of you, gaiwakwa, for jumping, she would not jump because she understands that she carries something precious and any activity that she might do might affect the precious thing that she carries from within her. God is calling us to know that we have something precious within us, to conduct ourselves as jars of clay, to conduct ourselves as temples of the Holy Spirit, and to know that there are things you cannot do by virtue of the God that you carry in you. There are activities that you cannot engage in by virtue of the God that you carry in you. Now in Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John were brought before the Sanhedrin and they were whipped and they were commanded to continue not preaching the name of Christ anymore, they said, judge for yourself whether it is worthwhile for us to obey you or to obey God. They knew that they carried something precious within them, and no man could hinder them from speaking about that precious thing. Now, there are things that the fowler snare will throw your way so that you can prove yourself worthy of the precious thing that you carry from within you. There are deals that the enemy will give you in business that will be snaps or will be traps to see whether you are worthy of the precious thing that you carry from within you. There are things that God wants you to say no to. And I do not want to highlight them today because I know you know them. And I know the Spirit of God has highlighted them in your heart. There are things that God wants you to say no to. There is a conduct that God wants you to have. There are places that you know God does not want you to go to because you are a jar of clay. because you are carrying something precious within you. So I pray that as believers, the first thing we shall do in dwelling in the presence, the shelter of the Most High, is to acknowledge that we carry something precious within us. Amen? Second way you can dwell in the shelter of the Most High is making God a priority in your resources. Making God a priority in your resources. And I'm talking about a resource called time. Let me talk about time. Now, time is one of the most underrated resources that we have from God. Now, the day that you walk into a doctor's office and they tell you that you have 3 months to live, that's the day that you appreciate the resource of time. It is said that a man will do everything and anything to get more time. Even if you're worth $9 billion, you will give up the $9 billion for an extra day. Because at that time, the reality of the preciousness of time will hit you. Now, time is a resource that God has given everyone, regardless of your stature, regardless of your background. You know, you can't complain that because you are not from the major tribes of this country, you get 23 hours a day. God has given all men 24 hours a day. It is a resource that God has given us equally. One of the best ways to make God a priority is to give him the best of your time. You have to give God the best of your time to prove your love and to prove your devotion by giving the best of your resource of time. Now, I'm saying the best and not the rest. I pray that this will be the year that Mamlaka Hill Chapel Ruaka will be awakened to the precious God and to what he has done for you. And we shall find joy in giving God the best. That the best of your time will be spent before God in prayer. That the best of your time will be spent before God in the study of his word. That you shall find delight in him, El Elyon, who found delight in giving up his life so that it might be a fragrant offering to you. I pray that even in the church of God, we shall not struggle with volunteers. That MZ shall never have to announce that we need people to give their time to the service of God in serving the children. That we shall be people who are willing and are looking forward to serve a God who has proven that he has given us the best of his resource of time. Again, the other resource that God gives us is money. I pray that there shall be no missionary in Ruaka who shall struggle with support because of lack of money, and that the work of God shall not stop. So I pray that as you look at your budget, it shall reflect that you have given God the best of your resources. Amen? Amen. So may God help us to conduct ourselves as temples of the Holy Spirit, as those upon whom and within whom God dwells. Because man dwells with God by allowing God to dwell with him. Man dwells with God by allowing God to dwell with him. Because we who have given our lives to Christ are saying, God, come and dwell with me. We shall live our lives as those who know that there is something precious that we carry within us. I pray that we shall give God the best of our resource of time and the best of our resource of money. Now, as I finish, Psalms 91 has a promise. Let me jump to the promises that are contained in Psalms 91. Now, Psalms 91, God says, if you do this, if you make me a priority, I will rescue you. I will rescue you. He says, I will protect you because you acknowledge my name. I will be with him in times of trouble. Anytime you are facing any major opposition, God says, I will be with you. He says, I will deliver him and honor him. He says, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now these are very, very strong promises. I am not the one making these promises. God is making these promises to you. So should we take God, or why should we take God as it were? How do I know? Maybe you're here and you're wondering, Pastor, I want to dwell. Nitaamuka. Nitaoba. Nitafundisha watoto, the whole Bible, from the beginning to the end. But I want you to assure me today, Pastor, that God will satisfy me with long life. That any time I stand and say, Jesus, he shall rescue me, Anytime I am in trouble with KRA or Kanjo or any other institution that can land you in trouble, God shall be with me, because that's what you're saying about Psalms 91. Now let me say that these promises are from God and not me. So you have to know and understand and believe in the character of God for you to hold him and for you to believe the promises that he has made to you. Now in Numbers 23, God proclaims himself as a man who does not lie. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man that he should make promises. He says, do I promise and not fulfill? So God is inviting us in Numbers 23 to take him at his word and to believe that that he has promised to you, he shall fulfill. Amen? So the character of God gives us the confidence to know that he is good for his word. Now there's a popular way for us Kenyans to do this. Have you ever met a friend like Akama, told you something juicy and private, that you wonder how he knew about it? So someone can come and tell you, acha ni kushow rev, eh? Wajua jana usiku, Reverend Maura alinunua gari. let me say something positive. Midnight alinunua gari. So you wonder, how do you know what he did at midnight? Were you with him? The Kenyan response would be, sinimi na kuambia. Sinimi na kuambia. Sometimes you even get angry. Sinimi na kushow bana. Alinunua yo gari midnight. So today God is telling you, sinimi na kuambia, in Psalms 91, that he will keep his promises to you, that he will deliver you, that he will honor you, that he will satisfy you with long life, and you can trust the strength of his character. The same God who delivered Daniel from the lion's den, I wanted to say it in Kiswahili, is the same God shall deliver you. The same God who kept Joseph from aborting the dream that was with him when he was in the prison and it looked like his dream had come to naught, is the same God who is promising to deliver you. The same God who parted the Red Sea when it looked like the Egyptians were finally coming to take back the people of Israel to captivity is the same God that makes this promise in Psalms 91. So you can take God for his word, because it is him who says it. It is not I, but it is Jehovah who has proven himself time and time again that is making these promises to you in Psalms 91. Now, let me finish by saying, you could be here and you have had a difficult 2020, and these promises look absurd to you. You're like, what do you mean? 2020 was a horrible year for me, and I'm a believer. I lost a loved one, my business died, my life is in ashes. What do you mean that God promises to do all these things that he outlines to me? And a preaching of Psalms 91 to a person who is in this state can sound tone deaf. Do you know the meaning of tone deaf? Now, tone deaf is an inability to hear musical keys. Now, I know Kafi has experienced this more than all of us. Now that I've said, you know, I need to give God the best of my resources. The resources of time. So there's a gentleman, let me go with the men, who will decide that they want to join the worship team, regardless of their gifting in terms of voice. So you go and they give you an audition and you sound, or rather I sound, like they are scratching the back of a sufuria, because you are tone deaf. You can't listen to keys. You cannot understand musical progressions. That's what it means to be tone deaf. It's a musical example that has been incorporated to life. Now in life, a tone deaf person is a person who is not aware of the realities that people are going through. Now one day I had a friend who was tone deaf. We were hungry, we were broke, we were looking for money for the next Chapo Dondo. Then the person walked in with bio yogurt. You know bio yogurt? That yogurt that you buy because you're looking for the most expensive yogurt to buy. I mean, you looked at Daima, it was 60 bob, bio yogurt was 540, and you decided to go for bio yogurt because money is not a problem. So when such a person comes before you, and you're looking for 50 bob for Chapo Dondo, that person looks tone deaf because they don't understand what you are going through. Sometimes when you listen to people in government speak, sometimes they sound like they are tone deaf, like they do not understand what the ordinary mwananchi goes through. One of our most recent famous quotes is when we were being told that the children will go and learn under trees. You're like, have you ever seen the trees in our schools? Are there even trees in those schools? Do you know that it's raining and trees cannot keep the children from the rain? Sometimes the things that you're told by our government may sound tone deaf. There's a famous quote by a chief of police in Uganda who argued that he was beating members of the opposition to protect them from danger, and it sounded tone deaf to the world. He says, I'm telling you there is trouble, and I am beating you so that you don't go where there is trouble. Sometimes proclamations from government can sound tone deaf. Now, Psalms 91 can sound tone deaf to you, especially if you have had a difficult year, 2020. It can sound insensitive, and it can sound as if we are causing over the pain that you went through in 2020. Now let me assure you, as a man who has seen the faithfulness of God in my life and in the people that God has allowed me to minister to, is that God does not waste your pain. In Isaiah 61, there's a very peculiar thing that Jesus talks about. He uses Isaiah 61 as his manifesto. When he's asked, what are you coming to do on earth? After his baptism, he quotes Isaiah 61. Now one of the things he says is, shall give beauty for ashes. Not beauty from nothing, but beauty for ashes. This is Jesus acknowledging that there could be ashes in your life. There could be things that sound like they have no hope. But El Elyon has the power to bring out beauty from ashes. He is a garment of hope instead of despair. So I don't know what situation you went through in 2020 that filled you with despair. El Elyon is able to give you a garment of hope instead of despair. He's an oil of joy or an oil of gladness instead of mourning. So I don't know what mourning or sadness you went through in 2020. This promise still applies to you because God is aware of that pain, and God, who creates beauty from ashes, is able to give you a fragrance of joy, an oil of joy from the pain that you went through in 2020. So may God bless us. May we trust the words of Psalms 191. May we trust the words of Psalms 91. May we find refuge in the shelter of the Almighty. May we believe God for his promises. May God give us the grace to conduct ourselves as those who are the temples within which God dwells. Because that's how you dwell with the shelter of the Most High. May God help us, give him the best of our resources of time and money. And may God give us the faith to believe him. May God give us the faith to believe him in the things that he has promised us to do. Do you know there's a gift called the gift of faith? So if you're finding it hard to trust God, you should ask God to give you the gift of faith. God knows that you can find it hard to trust him, and he has made provisions for you to access the gift of faith. So Psalms 91, may you find refuge in that text. Amen. Amen. God bless you.